was music from Ed Kerr, Unexpected Turns. We heard two from the Ball Brothers, and I Smile. It's 9 minutes after the hour. It's a Tuesday morning, and that means a visit from Dr. Don Clark, who is a biochemist and a member of the board at Creation Moments. He comes to us from Garden Valley, Texas, where he grows grapes. How's the weather in the Garden Valley today, Don?
Well, it's starting off to be sunny, but we're scheduled to have rain this afternoon. We're going to have several more days of rain. We had several days of sunshine, and the fields actually dried out, which is a good thing. But I think we're headed for some more rain starting this afternoon.
That must be a big system coming across the country. I haven't seen a national weather map, but we're due for rain and some thunderstorms basically from Wednesday through the end of the week here. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that must be
The difference being we need the rain up here, and you don't. You've had more than your share. So, well, your grapes will be bigger and wetter, I suppose.
More, that means more fungus and more chances for disease.
Yeah,
and
just like a vigneron, looking at the dark side there. Okay, look at the other side.
Is there any way that some of that fungus would be noble rot? Is there any way to...
Yeah, no. We get all kinds of fungus. The noble rot, the grapes haven't even... they're just... about to bloom. The buds are just about to bloom.
Oh, wow.
And so we got to keep them clean, otherwise they get black rot, and then we get the grape berry moth that likes to lay its eggs on the young grapes coming up. So
Don, fighting hard.
It's spring program.
As a member of the fledgling wine industry in Texas down there, we wish you all the best. And again, I would come down and stomp grapes for you. All you got to do is call. But I'd like to do it in like January, February. Can that be arranged?
Oh, yeah. No grapes to stomp then unless I freeze them back.
Well,
you could freeze them back just to make him happy.
Yeah, I don't think so. Listen, we've got
go down to the A&P and buy a pound of seedless and put them in the jug.
Interesting article from the magazine Behemoth to talk about today. And this has to do with how our bodies die a little bit every day. At least little bitty parts of us die, and I didn't even know this process. Well, I didn't ever stop to think of this before, but I guess it's essential. I think, Don, we have talked about something akin to this on the program in the past, just in the nature in line with how the body takes care of itself, and how it's such an amazing mechanism. This is, how do you say this? Apoptosis, is that correct?
No, it's apoptosis.
Apoptosis. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I asked you then.
Yeah, apoptosis. Okay. It's a process by which the cells kill themselves, basically. Mm. It's written into our DNA, and the cell. It's certain times in our life, the cells need to. Some cells need to disappear, and other cells need to come into place, and so. God, in his wisdom, developed this mechanism by which there's some type of internal signal that says, okay, it's time for you to die now.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, well, why in the world would we have such a thing? Wouldn't we like ourselves to live forever?
You think so?
Cells living forever and cells, kind of being differentiated is a disease called cancer. And so we certainly don't want that. But our cells have all kinds of regulatory and control mechanisms in them. And this is a most interesting interesting process, because without it, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be the person that we are, at least phenotypically or the way we look. The process starts very early, very, very early in life, when the egg is fertilized, first we start off with one cell, then we go to two cells, then four, and then eight. And 16, and we get all this multiplication going on, and without apoptosis, we would just be a big ball of cells. So, it's you need to have some cells die in order to, you know, for other cells to kind of take their place and to shape us. Mm-hmm. For example, when we are, you know, just a little fetus, and we got little buds coming out from this fetus, which are going to be our hands and our feet. Our hands look like kind of duck hands, really. They've got webs in between what's going to be the fingers. Well, the cells in between the fingers actually undergo apoptosis, and those cells die, and then in a few weeks you've got nicely defined fingers and toes. That's kind of one process. We wouldn't have a brain or a nervous system without apoptosis, because there are cells that die kind of in the middle of our growing bodies. There, other cells move in, which are eventually going to become our nerve cells, and they form a sheet, which eventually forms a tube, which turns into our spinal cord and our brain. And the process continues, and the cells die in our head to form and these nerve cells start forming and taking up the place that the cells, you know, where the cells die, and that forms our brain. So this process continues all through development.
You can kind of see that in fetus, because it's developing. There are, I guess, parts of the fetus that serve a purpose for a while, and then they have to go. And so apoptosis takes care of that. But what about as we're growing human beings? We get larger. We grow from children to adult, if we're lucky. And some of us get to be taller and better looking than others, don't they, David? Something's got to give. Something's got to give. The old stuff has to be sloughed off. Is this the same as like skin cells, or is it still happening internally in us?
Well, it's still, yes, and it's a very important process, even when we're old and gray, like mm-hmm. we are. Mm-hmm.
speak for yourself.
Actually, when we are developing, when we're younger, much younger, the process continues, because in the development of for example nerve cells, many more nerve cells are developed and are formed than are needed initially, and so as we begin to learn things, for example, language, or learning how to throw a ball, or to play the piano and stuff, that makes nerve connections with our nerves. And the interesting thing is that the nerves that don't that have few connections to them, they die off through this process of apoptosis. And so it reinforces the connections that we have already made. Mm-hmm. With the other cells. So the other cells, survive, and these excess nerve cells, if you will, die off. I guess, if you could learn everything you could ever possibly learn as being a human being, then you'd have a lot of newer nerve cells, because you'd make these connections. But that's not the way life goes. And it's probably why, a younger person can learn language a lot easier than, an older person can. Mm-hmm. Because, our nerve cells have died off in the language department. And so we're kind of stuck with whatever language we grew up with. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you can catch that early, and probably in the language development years, I would guess, in 1, 2, 3, year time mm-hmm. frame, expose the child to multiple languages, which happens in a, when a couple, speaks different languages, then they'll grow up naturally having that language ability for both of those languages.
Now, this says, too, that apoptosis defends us. It has to do with our immune system. I want to read just a sentence here. It says, any cells that react against our own tissue are triggered to die by apoptosis, so they will not attack our bodies. This is essential. If immune cells become resistant to the signals that trigger apoptosis, they can become marauders in our own bodies, attacking joints like arthritis, the thyroid gland that's something called Hashimoto's disease, or the pancreas that becomes diabetes, or many tissues at once, and that becomes lupus, for example. So apoptosis, it says, prunes away immune cells that are no longer needed after an infection is over. So it really cleans out the system, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And when we're forming our immune cells, our immune cells are formed in our bone, actually. And as it in the spleen, and then the cells have to pass through a guard called the thymus, and the thymus then takes the cells, and then if your thymus is working properly, it signals the immune cells, the white blood cells, to those that have the ability to latch on to, you know, foreign substances in our body. Are left alone, those that try to attack our own cells are signaled to say, "Hey, you got to shut down. You got to kill yourself." Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
the amazing thing is not only the planning and the creation, it's the communication. Would you call this communication via chemicals, or is this electrochemical? How do you characterize the information flow here?
Well, I'm sure it's partly chemical, but it may be partly electrical as well. I mean, I don't know. It hasn't really been figured out how this communication takes place. But we know that every cell in our body is connected, and there is communication between every cell, especially nearest neighbors type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what keeps a heart cell, because it's next to a heart cell. The skin cell, a skin cell, because it's next to skin cells. But and that differentiation, would continue even if you did, for example, the tissue culture, samples of skin cells. But if you continue to culture those cells over, a long period of time, within 2 to 3 generations, they form what's called a fibroblast, which is an undifferentiated cell. So it definitely needs, the cells definitely need communication with one another. And here's a case where there is some type of mechanism and communication with the outside, outside of the cell itself. Mm. That's telling the cell either to, stay alive or to kill itself. And as you just read, if that mechanism is screwed up, especially for the immune system, then you can have problems. You can have major problems, whether it be arthritis, whether it be any of the other diseases that you mentioned, the autoimmune type of diseases. Now, there could be a spiritual component to all of this. As I was referring earlier, for example, that your nerve cells, if they are, if they're not stimulated, then the nerve cells, are programmed, basically to die. But what happens if you get the wrong stimulation, for example? And we now know from neuroscience that if a person is fearful, that fear is actually programmed and hardwired into their nervous system. It's like the pathway, the pathways for fear are enhanced and made in are connected, whereas the pathways, let's say, for peace are haven't been made. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of lose some cells on that end of the device, and so you become a person that's walking around with a bunch of fear. Well, how do you kind of reprogram that? And even if you take care of the spiritual side of the fear, it takes a while for you to achieve, for example, peace. And the reason is because your body is programmed, is now programmed
for
fear. You
know what this reminds me of is Philippians 4:8, which in my favorite distillation of that message is, you are what you eat. You are what you surround yourself with. So what you believe, what you practice, your body conditions itself then to facilitate what you have chosen.
Yes, that's correct. That's right. And excuse me, even for example, with an autoimmune disease, if you are more likely to get an autoimmune disease if you don't like yourself, which is an interesting, you know, thing, because it's like you're telling your body subconsciously. I mean, how can your brain communicate with every cell in your body, and especially your immune cells, to say, hey, you know, I don't like myself, so destroy me from the inside. I mean, that's a horrible thought, but when you don't like yourself, that's exactly what you're telling your body. And sometimes the end result is, you know, you have all kinds of autoimmune diseases, and you know, your body is essentially, you know, trying to eat itself up from from the inside, which is not a good thing. So, you know, so how do you overcome that? Well, you realize that Jesus Christ died for you, and that our God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, loves us more than we could ever possibly imagine. And, you know, that love then should overpower us and change our thinking to that of, you know, one of, hey, you know, I am worth something. I am, you know, if God the Father, you know, loves me unconditionally, that he sent his only begotten son, you know, to die for me, personally, and you understand, you begin to understand the Father's love, then you can overcome the, you know, these thoughts, these negative thoughts of either depression or of not liking yourself.
Now this is really getting fascinating. So apoptosis, you could think of it as kind of the interface with the spiritual, in a sense, because that means that external things can affect you internally. And I'm not talking about bacteria and viruses. I'm thoughts, emotions, and spiritual impulses.
One of the things that I've been thinking about.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, well, I don't think, you know, scientifically this has been necessarily proven, but it makes sense, you know, from a spiritual point of view when you start to bring the spiritual in. And, of course, this is this could be, you know, a problem for main science because they don't want to think about things spiritually. And so if you're thinking about only the material side of things, or if the only biochemical or the biology side of things, you would miss the spiritual connection because you're not looking for it, and you don't expect, you know, how do you measure that? But you can, you know, assess a person's well-being, I mean, from a psychological point of view. And of course their psychological well-being is all tied to their spiritual well-being.
Let me read a short paragraph, and then David, I want to hear what you're thinking, but I want to read this. It says, no one knows how apoptosis came to be, though there are theories. Even the simplest of animals are programmed for apoptosis, so it has been around since the dawn of multicellular life. Perhaps it's because cells need to live together in one body, so they must have a way of maintaining balance. There's a key, maintaining balance. No uncontrolled growth can be tolerated, or the whole organism simply ceases to be. That means, can't we just get along? Kind of. I mean, yeah. there are parallels in life. David, what were you gonna? What were you thinking?
Well, as far as cell to cell, we just get along?
Yeah.
I've heard the story. I don't know how many times in positive thinking literature about Norman Cousins, and you know, I brought up his
power of positive thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. The power of positive thinking and Norman Vincent Peale and all of that. The writings that he put together. Now, Cousins, I had always heard the story that he had a form of cancer, but it says in Wikipedia he had a form of arthritis and then a form of some sort of heart disease. And it was incurable. And so he took a bunch of Marx Brothers movies and watched them, and he would have, he said in here, every time he got 10 minutes of genuine belly laugh, there was an anesthetic effect that would give me 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Impulses from the outside that, according to this one particular, anecdotal evidence that suggests that it made the organism feel better. Interesting.
There is a proverb that, actually there's many proverbs, but address that. And the proverb 17:22, I believe, is a merry heart makes good like a medicine. And so, I mean, it goes along very much with the finding there that, if we have a joyous heart, then that brings healing to our body. But if we have a sad heart or a broken heart, then that brings disease.
Yeah, and if for example, you suffer from low blood pressure, you could watch a Hillary campaign commercial. and you'd be right back to normal.
I think that would work. Yeah. Yes, that would work.
Actually, what this suggests is that as human beings have known about the effects for a long, long time, simply we haven't been able to identify the mechanism. There's been really no need to. If you understand how it works, it's like you can drive a car. You don't have to know how to put an engine together to do it. But human beings have understood that you are what you eat for a long time.
That's true, and this is, of course, this is a somewhat different mechanism than that, because it has to do with actually pretty much every cell in your body being programmed from the very, very beginning of its of its existence, and obviously from the very beginning of our creation, for certain types of activities. And when that cell's either useful life has come to an end, obviously it's programmed to kind of self-destruct, or if it's if it needs to make room for other types of growth, then the cell is programmed again to kind of self-destruct. And this the self-destruct mechanism, and it's interesting, because you normally think of, okay, well, let's look at a eukaryotic cell, or a cell like it's in our bodies. It has a nucleus, and the nucleus, we know, from biology, has DNA, and we know the DNA contains all the information, in the cell to make new cells, and the information must come out of the DNA in the forms of RNA, messenger RNA, and that gets programmed into proteins and things like that. But one of the first things that happens in apoptosis is that the cell itself tells itself to destroy the DNA, take apart or to rip up or to shred, the DNA, the central part of the cell, internally, within the, what's called the protoplasm of the cell, this type of communication that gets into the nucleus, and it's probably enzymes that starts eating away at the DNA and beginning to shut down the cell process. This, to me, from a biochemical point of view, is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is amazing.
That this is programmed from the very beginning. Of not only of our lives, but from the very beginning of God's creation. So God knew that this was absolutely needed and essential, for life and for our life. And it's not only ours, but any animal, of course, has this has this ability, and needs this in order to form legs and tails and ears and eyes.
Wonder if it applies to plants also.
I don't know if that actually applies to plants. I
mean, we classify them as living. Is a plant an organism or not?
Well, it is an organism. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's just not a. It's not in the animal kingdom. There's mm-hmm. two major kingdoms: the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I would guess, and I'm guessing at this, but any time you've got differentiation, cell differentiation and structure, that you would have to have some cells that die so that other cells can come in and begin to form structures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly plants have lifespans, life cycles as well, and different kinds of cells. So, yeah, it probably does apply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So, has anyone... excuse me, I actually looked at this. That would be an interesting question.
It would be an interesting comparison to see how plants do it as opposed to how animal organisms do it. Mm-hmm. What's the mechanism again? How do they differ? So much we have to learn, and it's interesting. Do we need to know it, or are we just as well off not knowing it, Don? What do you think? Although it does give us a clue as to the nature of the creation, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I think gaining knowledge, obviously can be dangerous, mm-hmm. and we're warned about just gaining knowledge for knowledge's sake. But if your motivation, and this was the primary motivation of the early scientists who developed the scientific method and those type of things, for example. Was, hey, we've got a wonderful creator who did things in an orderly manner, and so we should be able to understand the world around us, and understanding the world around us helps to give us a better idea as to who our creator was. Mm-hmm. And if that's our motivation, then going after these type of questions, delving into, the cell and the body and trying to figure out how it all interconnects and works, you just have to stand back and say, wow, mm-hmm. this is unbelievably complex. This couldn't have, not only couldn't it have happened from the information that's in the DNA, but it couldn't have happened from all the communication that takes place, mm-hmm. within the body. Mm-hmm. It just should bring you, to your knees and to basically be in awe even more of our Creator.
Boy, I agree, and it's an amazing, amazing thing. And if you're not impressed with this, and you figure it could all happen by accident, you need to go back to school. You really need to open your eyes, David. Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering if I heard you say a little while ago that the things that we don't know about don't necessarily affect us all as much, but understanding this process and knowing that it's there, I think would be all kinds of beneficial. Mm-hmm. A biofeedback loop or positive thinking or some sort of thing. I see a possibility there. Mm-hmm. Would that be there, Don? Could it be used for that?
Yeah. You could definitely use it to help people, understanding the mechanism, for example, and saying, hey, your wrong thinking is causing this disease.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's delve into why you think the way you think.
I wonder if it'll work.
And then let's. Then change it. And then if you could get to the root of the wrong thinking, then you could, help the individual. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of our wrong thinking is a spiritual problem and not necessarily a psychological problem.
Yeah. Well, the cure could be take lots of rest, two Marx Brothers movies, and three Psalms, and you'll be feeling a lot better about things here.
Very interesting.
Dr. Don, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It was fascinating. We will link to this article in the podcast, which will go up on our website here in a couple of hours. And Don, we'll let you go back to tending the grapes and taking care of things down there in Garden Valley. And also want to mention Creation Moments. CreationMoments.com is the website. You can link there from ours, and you can learn a whole bunch about young earth creationism and the science that says it is so. I think you find it quite fascinating. Don, take care of yourself. We'll see you next week.
All right. Very good. And you all have a great week as well.
Bye-bye.
Okay. See you, Doctor.
So long.